Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host Joe McGranahan on the last day of his retirement shortened week, about to launch into his retirement lengthened Easter weekend. He is with us, so welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning. You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
And
strikingly handsome.
There you go.
Now we can chalk that one off for April.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, mark that down.
Checklist here. Okay. Thank you.
Glad I didn't forget it, because I would have had to have done it twice in May.
Well, you still have another week. Yeah, April's not over yet, but just about. Boy, time is marching on here. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yep, AccuWeather says it's time to get the hoe out of the shed, right?
I heard that. So we have got a lot of work to do this weekend. You're not going to get much done this weekend, on and off rain just about every day. It is the 18th day of April 2019. Rob Setter is the fabulous producer we ever saw, so we very much appreciate all his hard work. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street to Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. You can find tons and tons and tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, and you would know that because we send out a tornado watch information on Sunday. See, that's how important this kind of information can be. He would have found out Sunday night that a tornado watch is posted, and who knows, may have helped individuals be just a little bit more prepared. So that was may have been the last Text Connect message.
Did you send that out in the middle of the night? I didn't get it.
No, it was a tornado watch, I think at 9 p.m. was when we received it, and we passed it on right away. I'm calling up my Text Connect. Here we go.
No.
Oh, the last one we sent out was the traffic backups on Route 45 in Montandon. That was on Monday. Yes, Sunday night, 6... No, there we go. Tornado watch. Strong storms expected overnight. 1857 on Sunday was when that went out.
So that'd be almost 9 o'clock.
18 is 6, so it'd be 7 o'clock, almost 7 o'clock.
12, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70.
You figure that out.
Right,
I know what time
o'clock.
It is.
Okay. Now I have trouble with that military time.
The 24 stuff.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm getting used
to it. It's confusing.
I'm
24
getting used
hours.
To it after 20 years. So. All right. For Text Connect members, anyway, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not Text Connected, you can sign up at WKOK.com. Fewer than a dozen messages a month. It's an opportunity for us to tell you about national or breaking news. I wouldn't be surprised to see one today when the Mueller report is actually out. So that would be, what, I think 11 a.m. is the release time?
I thought it was afternoon.
Okay.
I think, isn't the, what time is the press conference with the Attorney General?
I'm told by Mr. Matt Cotrillo, that's at 9:30.
Well, then maybe it is at 11 o'clock, yes. 11 or 12. I thought it was 12 or 12:30, but
okay.
Who knows?
Well, it's first Attorney General Barr will do the prequel, and then
yes,
later.
Yes, and the Democrats are all in a snit about that, saying he's going to try and spin it. Of course, they would never do such a thing. They would never try to spin a report. So, but maybe he's not. I understood what he was going to talk about was the mechanism, you know, what went into what they released.
The detail.
Well, the fact he's color-coded it, I think, in four different colors. One for grand jury testimony that had to be redacted, one for things that reflect on unindicted people who were not indicted. National security issues would be a third color. And what was the fourth? Oh, grand jury testimony.
Okay.
So four different colors will show you what it was that was redacted. That seems very fair to me. I mean, it doesn't seem like anything nefarious going on there. The question is, should anything be redacted? And I saw a guy this morning on one of the talking heads on TV. He made a good point. He said, you know, someone asked him, is this going to change anything? Will this finally put it all to rest? And he said, no. He said, some of the Democrats are so invested in collusion that they've been harping on it for 2 years that they can't possibly let this go. Mm-hmm. There'll have to be something else. It was, somebody got to Mueller. Mueller was paid off or somebody.
Or his team was full of Democrats.
His team was full of Democrats.
Okay, well.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's about time we put this behind us. But then now the Inspector General's report is due out next month, and that was the first look at the people who did the investigating, to see whether or not they were on the up and up. And there may be some issue there, too.
Right. 1-800-795-9565. If anybody has any sort of pre-thoughts about the Attorney General's news conference, which will be happening later this morning, and then the full release of the Mueller report with redacted, color-coded segments, so you know you can follow along a little bit more easily, perhaps.
And I understand it's going to be released to the Congress and on the Attorney General's website at about the same time.
I bet that website will be crashing.
I bet it will be, too. But we were talking about Representative Omar yesterday, and there was a story this morning I just have to pass along as kind of a grace note. Even Democrats are distancing themselves from her. At least two Democrats have reimbursed the campaign contributions made by Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, who has been at the center of numerous controversies since she was sworn in as a freshman congressman last January. North Carolina's 9th Congressional District candidate Dan McCready refunded $2,000 to Omar in March after she donated to his campaign last November, ahead of the 2018 midterms. A spokesman for McCready told the news station there that he'd refunded Omar's contribution because, quote, he believes there is no place for divisiveness in politics, and McCready did not feel it is appropriate to accept her donation. And he's not alone. Two others have returned their donations, too, one of whom apparently tried to hide it. But then
he had received it at all, or he or she had
received
it at all.
They're trying to make sure that they didn't know. So, I mean, even the Democrats, some of the Democrats are distancing themselves from her over her behavior. So, and one of them cited some people did something bit, so.
One of our listeners sends us the last word. Of course, understandably so, and one of our good callers said that Representative Ilhan Omar was a little girl. And
when the attack occurred.
And wasn't well, mostly that she was a little girl now and didn't deserve to be bullied by the president. Now another email comes in from someone else who says, as per Wikipedia, U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is 37 years old. She became a U.S. citizen in 2000. At the time of the 9/11 attack, she was 17 years old. She was not a little girl then either.
And she certainly is not one now.
Right. So.
So that's kind of.
Well, that's an old school reference to somebody. So, you know, everybody's got to change their kind of get up to speed with more respectful terms.
Well, but still, I mean, the fact that even some Democrats are trying to push themselves away from her is a pretty good indication that what she's doing.
Well, that's mostly about the Israel remarks, correct? Not the 9/11 stuff.
Well, some of it's both, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Some of it's anti-Semitism, and some of it is the other, the 9/11 stuff, as you put it.
Well, and what if, glossing over the tragic deaths of 3,000 people, you know, some people did something, whatever.
Right.
That's what she said.
Pretty offensive to me.
So.
So, in any event.
Well, but I think I honestly, I'll defend her to this end. I think the context was it was a passing remark to a specific audience about a specific topic. 99% of her remarks were about the particular group that she was talking to.
Well, the fact that she felt they were being oppressed and put upon because of the 9/11 attack. So she chose to make her point by diminishing that attack.
And you think that's a false point? You don't think Muslims suffered at all in the U.S.?
I do think they did.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I don't think that's the way to phrase it.
Hmm.
I'm sure there were some people, but I mean, no one took away their civil liberties. There was no law like the Chinese immigration law that said we don't allow them into the country anymore. We didn't intern them in camps as we did the Japanese during World War II.
Right. So,
so
it's
if
okay
they were put upon, they weren't exactly put upon by the same measure as we put upon other people over the years.
Right. And so if they aren't hit with a hammer, verbal assaults don't count, is what you're saying.
Well, you remember,
no one hit you with a
hammer.
When I
was a kid, we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Do you remember
right.
that?
Right. Okay. Well, but see, the dilemma, the dilemma in real life is no one talks the way you want them to, and no one reacts to disparaging remarks the way
Free
you
country.
Want them
she
to.
Free country. She has the right to say what
right.
she
no,
wants
they
to
do
say.
Have the opportunity to react
But you always point
to
out
way.
To me that words have consequences.
I do.
Yes, you do.
I don't think I've ever used that phrase in my life. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, you do know that there were many efforts to try to prevent mosques from being built in various towns.
Oh, they definitely suffered.
Yeah, well, we conceded that point.
You know, setbacks.
Well, you said nobody was removing their civil rights. Well, they were certainly using zoning and other issues to try and resentment about 9/11 to prevent the mosques from being built. That's certainly an attack on their civil rights.
Well, it's an attack on their zoning rights.
That's okay. There's no people associated with this.
Be persnickety if you want, but to ignore it is absurd.
But Chris, there's a big difference between saying we don't want you to build a building here and saying you can't vote in the next election. I mean, there's a big difference.
But nobody said that. Who said that was the only... Who said they were trying to stop people from voting?
Well, I'm talking about losing their civil...
Yeah,
well,
civil
let me answer
right.
your question. All right, that's a civil right.
I mean, that voting isn't the only civil right, Joe.
No, but you're missing my point, as usual. I'm just saying to you...
What's your point,
I'm
usual?
Saying to you that the people here, who, while they may have had some people block their efforts to build a mosque, no one tried to take away their right to vote in an election. No one tried to disenfranchise them. No one said they can't drive cars. No one said they can't live where they want to.
They tried to prevent them from coming into the country.
But they didn't deport anybody. They didn't say those here have to go.
Okay, Joe, forget it. you can't argue with the one I mentioned, and that's certainly a civil right. All right?
No, it's a property right, Chris. There's a difference. You have the right to develop property you own. It doesn't
you
mean
you have religious freedom, and you have the right to build your own churches.
But
no.
it doesn't
Come
mean
on.
You can build
freedom
anything.
Freedom of religion.
It doesn't mean you can build anything you want, Chris. There are laws governing what you may build and where you may build it all over this country. It has nothing to do with whether you're a Muslim, a
okay.
Catholic, or a Jew.
Take the one in New York City. That had nothing to do with zoning. That had to do with the proper propriety of having a mosque that close to the 9/11 site.
And that's a matter
Period.
Of that's a matter of sensitivities.
Oh, brother.
Okay, Joe. You are obviously being foolish, so let's move on to Barr.
Not being foolish.
You can be foolish about him, or as I call him, B.S. Barr.
Odd you call him that. I mean, everybody in the left loved him a little while ago. He went through Congress in his last...
No, we did not love him. He refused to give answers in Congress. And...
I'm talking about when he was appointed to the Bush White House.
The Bush White House.
Right. Remember, he was Attorney General then, too? And he passed with near unanimous consent by Democrats and Republicans?
Yeah, and that was a mistake.
Okay.
Because of what he did with the first Bush and what he did with Iran-Contra.
And, of course...
He used the same thing to cover up and ditch reports in the Panama situation with the first Bush.
Well, what report is he ditching now? He put out a summary. He consulted with Mueller before he did it. He's working with Mueller's team now to determine what redactions must be made to accommodate the law. So how is what he's doing bad?
And he also was the one who got the Iran-Contra folks pardoned at the beginning of the Bush administration.
Well, Mr. Obama pardoned a lot of questionable people, too, so what's wrong with that? You're allowed to pardon.
questionable people, but not people who were covering, not people who were investigating their party's administration.
That's right. Obama pardoned a lot of criminals.
Yes, Joe. A and B are not connecting.
Well, they do to me. You know, you're saying there's something wrong with pardoning people. I'm right. saying there's not.
No, I'm not. I'm saying he's twice been used to cover up things and Scotch special prosecutor's reports.
Right. Chris, we got another caller. Wrap up.
I don't know. I think
the way he's done this has been the same thing thus far. He has been making it up as he goes along. There's nothing that he says that says he's supposed to give a summary of the important conclusions on his own. That was all made up by him.
Well, be fair about it, Chris.
The redacting thing is all made up by him.
Chris, try and be fair for 1 second.
And that was the same thing he did in the Bush Panama situation. Was he gave a summary of a memo that was being subpoenaed, and he refused to give it to Congress.
Right, and I think you should be fair
months,
a little bit about
they
this.
They tried to get it from him, and he gave his summary of it, saying it was all about domestic stuff. Well, when it came out, it wasn't all about domestic stuff.
Well,
it was
Chris.
About all international stuff, or not 80% of it was international stuff.
I think what you need to do is try to be fair for a minute, because no one said that he had to release a summary of the report. I think he did that because people were howling for the whole report, and he knew there had to be redactions from it. I mean, under the law, I mean, you can't, despite the fact that Jerry Nadler and some of those people are yelling, oh, release the whole thing to us at once, there are parts that by law he can't release. So I think in putting out a summary of it, he did a reasonable thing. He quoted Barr directly in the quoted Mueller directly in the summary. And if it turns out he's lied or obfuscated the report, that's going to be pretty obvious this afternoon.
All right. We appreciate your call, Chris. Thank you very much. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Who are they? They are a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. I've done it many times, getting the vehicle inspected, getting any types of service. I get my vehicles aligned. I've been pumped up with nitrogen many times, and they take good care of you there. We got multiple.
You're pumped up all right.
Well, you know, we got three vehicles
up here.
We're
going to pump you up.
We got to keep them nitrogen up because the tires last longer, run cooler, don't get as hot in the summer, and they don't have as much temperature transition between summer and winter. And it's a good way to preserve your tires with nitrogen. The Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. You go there at 6:30 in the morning. Say, my car's busted, and they'll fix it for you. 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturday from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can make your appointment or find out more about it or check out all their vehicles at sunburymotors.com. Now we're going to take a quick break. We got a caller standing by. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. We have no emails pending on this particular topic, but you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We do have two texts that will have come in, so we'll read those in a moment. Al has been waiting. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark.
Good morning. I kind of got a little cut off yesterday, just like the rest of them. But anyways, some people somewhere in this world, two countries in particular, Syria and Iraq, they did a little ethnic cleansing, a lot of ethnic cleansing of all the Christians in those countries. Now, they've been fighting, the Christians and the Muslims been fighting for years. And they, you know, they share the same land over there in the Holy Land. We got a lot of significant places over there in the Christian, you know, churches and so forth. But, you know, it's just a matter of getting along. And they haven't gotten along in a long time. And then she comes along and starts throwing a little more wood on the fire because she comes from a district where they sent people over here. Obama brought people over here to be safer and to live the American way, and that's how she got voted in that district. It's not that she swayed a lot of people that were assimilated. They brought the population and put them in that area in Montana. So that's where she came from.
So you think the Somali vote is all those individuals who are now Somali-Americans are not assimilating into the U.S. culture as a whole, your satisfaction?
They're not doing it that well. They could, and, you know, with the difference in our cultures and everything, it's going to be difficult for them.
Based on what evidence do you say that?
Well, I'm just saying in Montana.
You just know it.
I don't know about in Montana, but I know, like I told you, in Paris there's, and lots of cities, there are areas where they don't go in Europe. And I'm afraid we're falling in the same footsteps if we don't have the proper assimilation. And that our constitution of our founding fathers for what we stand for. We should all be on the same team because we can all express our freedoms and our liberties.
And what have these Somali Americans done that's unconstitutional? What have the Somali Americans in Montana done that is unconstitutional?
Montana. I think it's not Montana.
Well, wherever.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, thank you.
Minnesota.
I'm sorry about that.
Minnesota.
Right. What have they done that's unconstitutional, in your view?
They haven't done anything unconstitutional.
Okay. So they're fully in compliance with all American laws. They went to the polls like you and I did, but you didn't like the outcome. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm just saying the outcome is influenced by that. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying how she won in a district.
Well, that's not unusual. I mean, that happened to the Irish. They moved into districts, and they eventually gained power.
She's representing them, and she's not representing them very well, assimilating, if she's going to start fires like she's starting fires.
Well, that's a good point. You know,
she's going to be representing that area, and she swore herself into our Congress under our Constitution, she doesn't have the right to do what she's doing, and nobody has the guts to stand up to her. Look what's happening to me because I'm saying she's doing the wrong thing. She's wrong. What is wrong with people doing the wrong thing?
What's happening to you? What's happening to you?
You make your mistakes, but then, you know, she made the mistakes, and nobody's getting to her and saying, hey, you can't do this. You're in the U.S. Congress.
What's happening?
By our Constitution.
Al, what is happening to you?
Yeah, we both asked that question. I don't think you heard us.
What's that?
You said, look what's happening to me. We want to know what's happening to you.
I'm seeing that we're in the brew of a big battle coming up between good and evil. That's what I see.
That's happening to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that could well be. But, I mean, the simple fact is that I don't like what she said. I think she's dismissive. I think she's anti-Semitic. I'm offended by the people on the left who defend her. You know, if it were a right-wing person saying those things, the media and everybody else would be all over it. I think we need to be fair and balanced here. And she said some pretty reprehensible things. Is she a bad person? I doubt it. I think she probably just is a young, like AOC. She's young. She's been thrust into a position of power. She doesn't quite know how to handle it. and so she's making some mistakes. I think the jury is still out on what kind of a congresswoman she'll be and whether she'll be an effective representative for her district, let alone her people.
Yeah, she needs to sit down and go back to the kitchen. That's what Joe's trying to say.
That's not exactly what I'm trying to say.
I think it pretty much is.
I'm trying to say that she needs some seasoning.
Nancy Pelosi's got to get a hold of her and read her the Riot Act, because
if she hasn't already.
Well, I don't know. She's trying to distance herself from her, but she really ought to take her under her wing and try and straighten her out. That would be doing her a great
right.
favor.
She should be a quiet woman. She should not be outspoken. The last thing we need in America is another outspoken woman.
Right. She's a little girl. She
oh,
should
my
sit
God.
Down
right,
and be
exactly.
quiet. Right?
Let's get her back in the kitchen. All right. Thank you. We'll give you the last word, Al. Anything to add to this?
I don't know if I want her in the kitchen, but I want her to do what she was sent there to do, is represent her American citizens in her district.
Okay, thank you.
Without causing all this
to Al's satisfaction, to your satisfaction, of course. All right, we got
to my satisfaction.
Right, right. It's hard to do. Yeah, nobody lives up to Al's satisfaction in terms of the representation, and nobody talks the way Joe wants them to. Boy, you guys must be frustrated.
Well, you're talking about us. I say you're in that category yourself, my friend.
Mm.
We have a text here who says, "Chris, whose AG was held in contempt of Congress? It wasn't Barr. Holder, who worked for Obama, is the answer."
All right. Amen. Thank you so much for that text. We appreciate it. And you're listening to News Radio 1070 WK. Okay, this is what?
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the vice president.
Mr. Pence stirring up another college campus. Coming up shortly here on News Radio 1070 WK. Okay, Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. It's not just a random series of digits like Route 35 or Route 147. No, these are important numbers. That 1-800-795-9565 is your toll-free connection to the show, and it is aptly called the Hometown Pharmacy's because it is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. It's quite important that you think of it as your connection to the show, because your hometown pharmacies are your connection to super service and opportunity, great selection, good prices, delivery, drug take back, you name it. They got it all going on at the hometown pharmacies, and you get personalized service on a first name basis. That's why we know Terry's out there running Shade Mountain. Tyler's the owner of Trutz Pharmacy. Steve's the owner of the Norrie Pharmacy. Jennifer's the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad's at the Lewisburg Armory. Where the hell?
What's he doing there?
Where in the world would my brain come up with that Lewisburg Pharmacy? Well, maybe he's delivering.
What's he
going
to deliver guns to? What a guy!
Well, I think that armory's partially decommissioned.
I believe so. Yes.
So there shouldn't be anything over there. But anyway, all right. Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Super service, first name basis. They don't even have those number taken devices, so you don't have to worry about that. They would give you an opportunity to talk to them confidentially about drug interactions, or maybe you got a little itch you wanted to tell them about. You don't want the whole world to know about it. You okay, buddy? Joe has a little itch. He remembers this. This happened to him one time. So he went to the Norrie Pharmacy.
You know, the first rule of digging a hole is when you're in one, stop.
Stop digging.
Stop
okay.
Digging.
So this is an opportunity for you to save a lot of money. How about that? We'll return to value and really let you know that Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy are places where you can get your itches taken care of. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com if you wish to. We have one email pending on another topic, and so we'll talk about that as the show progresses. You can also text us at 70236. In the news, the woman at the heart of the Sealands Grove mystery is out of the hospital and out of the valley. The 46-year-old New Jersey woman who was assaulted and found near Susquehanna University campus, we're told, has been released from the hospital and back in New Jersey. Police say despite numerous interviews, they were never able to piece together what led her to being assaulted. Our valley hit by two tornadoes, quite rare this time of year, but not unheard of, says our AccuWeather senior expert and meteorologist Heather Zare. Matt Catrillo knows more about tornadoes now.
WKOK, in an exclusive interview with the senior expert meteorologist, asked her about the twisters.
Basically, we feel that this was just due to an unusually vigorous system. We do sometimes get tornadoes at unusual times of the year, and sometimes even more than one.
Zare says not only was the storm unusual from a weather standpoint, but also because the terrain in Pennsylvania usually keeps tornadoes to a minimum. Zare says this may not be the end of rough storms heading into the summer. She says the severe weather season has already proven to be more active than previous years.
These last couple of years have been unusually quiet, especially in terms of tornadoes all across the country. Even in Tornado Alley, it has been unusually quiet, and we've had a lack of the usual number of tornadoes. This year is off to a more typical start in that part of the country, and it is even a little unusual here in that we got into the action as early as we did.
Zare says this storm demonstrates valley residents should heed watches and warnings, even if they come in the middle of the night.
You can have a phone alert set up where you can get alerts either from the National Weather Service or through a third-party app like AccuWeather.com that will send you those alerts, and hopefully that would wake you up even in the night.
Four tornadoes hit Union, Columbia, Sullivan, and Warren counties. Those included two EF2 tornadoes and two EF1 tornadoes. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The State House is approving tougher penalties for people who don't report suspicions about repeated child sexual abuse, and it's clarifying that non-disclosure agreements can't prevent people from talking to police in child molestation investigations. Lawmakers Wednesday voted for a proposal that would also eliminate the statute of limitations when mandated reporters fail to properly report ongoing abuse. The vote was 162 to 22, and they also unanimously approved a bill that requires non-disclosure agreements to specify that they do not prohibit cooperating with police. Both bills were sent to the Senate. Both proposals were based on recommendations in a grand jury report last year into sexual abuse of children by 300 Roman Catholic priests in the state, going back seven decades.
What kind of non-disclosure agreement would you have?
Well, for a settlement in a lawsuit, tells you you're supposed to have a total gag, but now they're trying to make sure that you can't do one that prevents you from talking to police.
Well, that's fair enough.
Right. Well, and the Penn State got the ball rolling on this kind of stuff, and now the Catholic Church disclosures gave it momentum,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
And finally, a sprinkler system check at a church that was frequented by George Washington and Benjamin Franklin drew a crowd Wednesday in Philadelphia, with dozens of people watching as sheets of water poured from the 196-foot steeple. Christ Church leaders breathed a sigh of relief at the site. The system check showed that the church has done all it can do to protect itself from a fire similar to the one that tore through the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris this week. Quote, one reason we did it this way was to show symbolic solidarity with Notre Dame, said Barbara Hogue, executive director of the Christ Church Preservation Fund. Quote, it's also because we're about to start renovations here, too. And we thought it was really prudent to start by testing the fire system to be sure that in the event something happens, we were prepared, unquote. The landmark Christ Church was founded in 1895 and has been in continuous use ever since.
That can't be right. Ben Franklin wouldn't have been at a church in 1895.
Well, they didn't say he went there on the first day.
Well, George, 1895, but he was long dead. He was living in the 1700s.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I think there's a disconnect.
Well, if he was living in the 1700s, the church was in existence in the
1700s. Right, but you said it was founded in 1898.
1895. No, 1695. Oh, did I say 18?
Yes, you did.
Are you sure?
Hence my, yes, I'm absolutely positive. Let's go to the tape.
And it was founded in 1895. Nope, you're right. Okay. So, 1695. Yeah, good catch, Joe. Thank you. It's funny you don't notice the misstatement. You just notice the incongruity of the timeline.
Well, that's because I was a history major.
Yeah, because you're an egghead. There's no doubt about it. So every so often it's helpful to have you around.
Thanks.
Anyway, the landmark. Well, that didn't come out right either. Anyway, the landmark Christ Church was founded in 1695, and has been in continuous use ever since. Besides Washington and Franklin, its notable congregants included other signers of the Declaration of Independence and Betsy Ross. Visitors can sit in their century-old pews or marvel at the spire funded by a campaign launched by Franklin in the mid-1700s when he was alive. Okay.
Right. He was alive in the mid-1700s.
Right, as Joe has made it quite clear. So I appreciate that. Real quick text, one of our listeners. Go ahead, Joe.
He says, don't make excuses for Omar or AOC. They tell us what they think, and we should take them at their word. They show a disdain for us in this country that is very concerning.
No, they show a disdain for this country that's very concerning.
Oh, okay, yes. Thank you for catching that mistake.
So... I think it's only a disdain if you disagree with them. I don't think it's a disdain for this country. I think they love this country. I wouldn't question their patriotism. I just disagree with some of the things they say, as do many, many of our listeners.
Well, I mean, is it fair to question someone's loyalty to the country if they speak out about a national tragedy in a derogatory term? I agree with
you.
There's
a big difference between derogatory and understating.
Okay, well, still, I don't think the one has anything to do with the other. I was probably going to make a point you would agree with.
Oh.
That I don't think that, you know, that necessarily follows that they are unpatriotic or don't love the country. Let's face it, Representative Omar could never have gotten as far in her own country as she's gotten here.
Well, she could have never gotten to the U.S. Congress if she were still there. That's
if she were back in her own country, she probably couldn't drive a car. So, you know, isn't it Saudi Arabia where they don't allow Muslim women to drive cars?
They do now. Women have more privileges than we know about over there. But,
oh, do they?
Than we commonly talk about.
Oh, okay. I thought they
but
were still
I'm not
oppressed.
Sure that they command the kind of respect that women do in the U.S. or that some women do in the U.S. You don't have that much respect for some of these people.
Who don't I have respect for? What women don't I have respect for?
Well, I just think the way you talk about Representative Omar should kind of stand down and go back to the kitchen kind of thing.
I never have said anything remotely
but don't
akin
you think,
to that.
Do you not agree that she should bite her tongue sometimes?
Yes.
Okay.
But I would say the same thing about you and I. We don't always say what we think on this program. We'd be thrown off the air if we did.
Yeah, and if somehow
But, you know, isn't a sign of maturity...
Off-mic remarks made it on.
Isn't it a sign of maturity that you learn how to handle yourself in situations and that you say things that people don't misconstrue, things that are thoughtful and intelligent rather than, you know, divisive and nasty.
So
and
she's thoughtless
hurtful.
And unintelligent. Well, this is interesting. What's the first rule of digging?
I didn't specifically refer to her.
Oh, I see.
So. I'm just saying, isn't that something you aspire to?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you hope that you had gained a certain perspective and maturity, and the things you say today as a 50-year-old plus, you wouldn't have said, you would maybe have said entirely differently in your 20s?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's my point.
Okay. Noted.
Thank you.
1-800-795-9565. What's our vice president up to?
Well, this is a fascinating story to me. The headline is, students, alumni outraged and shaking after Vice President Pence is invited to give the commencement. Vice President Pence is getting pushback from Taylor University students and alumni after the small evangelical Christian school tapped the former Indiana governor to be this year's commencement speaker. Over 3,300 people have signed a change.org petition to get Pence's invitation to the mid-May commencement ceremony rescinded, claiming the Trump-Pence administration's policies are not consistent with the Christian ethic of love we hold dear. One Taylor grad said the school should be ashamed. I am physically shaking. I feel personally attacked. But not all alumni and Taylor officials said they are standing by their decision. Upset alumni and students are voicing their anger as South Bend Mayor Pete, and I can never say this guy's name, Buttwig? Buttigieg, a Democratic presidential hopeful, criticized Prince. Buttigieg, who is openly gay, discussed his sexual orientation during an event hosted by the LGBTQ Victory Fund, saying, "If me being gay was a choice, it was made far, far above my pay grade. That's the thing that I wish Mike Pence's of the world would understand, that if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator." The vice president hit back, saying Buttigieg knows better. Kevin Holtzberry, a Taylor alum, told Fox News Monday morning the outraged alumni and students are mistaking disagreement on political issues with personal attacks, while also thanking the school for standing firm and not pulling Pence's invitation. When did you ever hear a conservative group get together to ban a liberal speaker on a college campus? But all these liberals, they're shaking, physically shaking.
I think liberals own this. You know, this idea of
stopping, not letting people speak.
Right, finding certain individuals that they know are antithetical to their beliefs from speaking, or that some of their beliefs definitely go against their beliefs. Vice President Pence should be right at home on a Christian campus, but he's so virulently anti-gay that I think that's probably what they find most reprehensible.
Really? That you chose that word, virulent. What? Now describe
what's wrong with
that? Well, describe anything he's done that fits that definition.
I'm not sure that his official actions have led him to do anything in public office. It's his private remarks.
But is he entitled to that opinion?
Absolutely. No, I'm not defending the individuals who don't wish for him to speak. If it were up to me, if they spoke the way I want them to sort of use your phrase, I would tell them to go and protest, you know, boycott it and protest it, but let him speak in the interest of free speech. I do think you're right. Maybe it's because we sort of set up campuses as a place where, because they tend to lean left, correct me if I'm wrong, that the whole most campuses lean left, and therefore they think something that doesn't agree with that lean shouldn't be there at all. But I don't agree with that, and I would love to hear the vice president speak on this and other topics.
You know, we talk about freedom of speech, and that's certainly the vice president's right. He has a right to feel how he feels about gays, and gays have a right to feel how they feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we don't benefit from hearing someone who disagrees with us speak to us from time to time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
if all we ever heard was a thought we agreed with and people who agreed with us, what would we get?
What have to follow up on your question, have conservatives
ever... Oh, we have two calls coming in, so...
Oh, okay. Have conservatives ever barred somebody from speaking on a campus or, you know, encouraged the college to do this? I cannot think of any. Let's think of the most... sort of vocal conservative demonstrations. Would you say the start of the Tea Party might qualify?
Yes, it was.
Nonviolent, right? And didn't prevent anything from happening. I mean, they rallied and
so on. I'm not aware
of
any conservative group that said we must band together to stop a liberal or a liberal must have their invitation to speak somewhere rescinded.
I remember some of them wore shirts that said, "Not my president," a picture of President Obama, and it said, "Not my president." But that certainly
Well, people
did
do
not...
that with Trump, so there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to do it.
Right, yeah, good point.
You can say he's not my president, but whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump, he's your president if you live in this country.
But that doesn't really bar anybody from doing it. That's just your opinion, and that's
right.
Pretty much.
Other and you're entitled to
it. Discussion. So,
but I mean, to me, it was like the people who were outraged over. I'm trying to think of that speaker's name. The young guy who a conservative who spoke at. I think down at. Did he speak at SU?
Well, there was one individual. His name escapes me. I've never heard of him before he came to campus, but I'm not very informed,
you know,
in case you haven't noticed.
So, I mean, I have no problem. I think it's Ben, not somebody.
Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro, yeah. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. You know, they get all upset because he speaks, and then people who heard him speak say, well, gee, he wasn't that bad. You know, so he's thought-provoking. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having your beliefs challenged by somebody?
Well, and to support what you're saying, remember that Red Blue Better Angels thing that we had locally, which I think we mentioned earlier today, I think the purpose of that was to get people who are Republican and Democrat not only in the same room, but arm in arm to talk about precisely why they feel the way they do, and also talk about what the other one doesn't believe about the other, that, or what the other one thinks about the other that may not be true, or may be true, but may not be
true.
But
if you accord another person the same rights you have, they have the right to their opinion, they have the right to express their opinion. You know, if you don't want to hear it, fine. I guess that's your right, too. But on the other hand, I don't believe you have the right to block others in their efforts to hear it.
I think the students are right that Pence is a poor choice because of his ultra-conservative viewpoints. I mean, a lot of us think of, you know, you certainly think of your Christianity as being something that is a little bit more opening and accepting and listening. Vice President Pence hasn't demonstrated as a human that he's interested in that. I don't think, like I said, I don't think his official duties have led him to do anything that relates to direct action in that regard. But certainly is anti-gay and anti-gay marriage. So to that,
and that's a biblical position from his faith.
Yeah, so, but not every Christian upholds that or, you know,
but
thinks
that
about it in
wrong?
The same way.
Does that make him wrong?
Well, it does in some extent, but does that mean he shouldn't speak? Like I said, I would rather hear him out and then question the heck out of him.
But your interpretation of the Bible is that he's wrong. His interpretation is that
he's
right.
That is not my interpretation.
Okay.
I do not have a personal interpretation of the Bible as it relates to gay marriage. I think gays should be allowed to be married biblically in every other way that they wish to, in a church or anywhere else.
Well, then you do have a biblical opinion of it.
Well, you know, you can say that the Bible stands for this, but I'm in good company with a lot of theologians and preachers who are much smarter than me on this topic, who say that two people who love each other should be able to marry. End of story. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I got to stay on schedule here.
We got two calls.
Yep,
pending.
We got callers waiting, and they are on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We'll be right back.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. One of our good listeners sends us a text.
He says, when the Vice President of the United States is not the right choice to speak at a university, we have a problem. So much for your little comment, Mark.
Well, it certainly is up to schools to invite whoever they want. I wouldn't mind hearing...
You said he was a poor choice.
Oh, okay, well... I think for some individuals, depending upon how you fashion your beliefs, he might be a poor choice. But I'd love to hear from him. I know that he and I don't agree on gay marriage, but the more he says, the more I'd be interested in hearing. So, you know, I'd use it as more of a learning.
I don't agree with him on that and other issues, too, but that doesn't mean I want to ban him from speaking.
Right. The more you learn, the better off you are. I'm a natural-born listener, in case no one has noticed.
I haven't noticed that, but thank you for telling me.
Dan, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
You bet. You know, Pence's mortal sins are he's identified with the President Trump, and he's a true evangelical Christian. That's Pence's mortal sins, which in our secular society, no one likes to hear. And you know, you might be able to call me Fat Dan last night to celebrate Trump's victory over this collusion. I went out and got some Kentucky chicken and Diet Coke. I know that's Trump's favorite food, some okay. of them. So you can just call me Fat Dan or Fat Danny.
Okay.
And this collusion is getting so old that I could partner throw up about Trump, but I'm thankful for Barr. He's going to investigate the investigators. This has the left all up in arms. oh, how can he do this? He turned against us. You know, we're going to be so shocked. I'm not going to be, but many people are going to be shocked when they learn what went on in the Justice Department to try to keep an elected man on the election to become president, and then to have a coup to get him out of office. There is shocking what's being done against this president, which, you know, I think he's the greatest in my lifetime.
What's the coup?
The Stalin coup that the left's been trying to get him out of office since he's been in, through the Justice Department, by trying to use the different amendments to get him out.
Amendments?
That's the coup. They're trying, just in the public media, trying to make him sound that bad that we have to get him out of office. I think it's the 25th Amendment they're trying to use to get him out of office. And by propaganda, they're trying to get him out of office. But they know they can't do that now. It's too late. So they'll keep the propaganda alive, how terrible a president he is, to try to win the next election. But the only thing that's happening, Trump's gaining supporters, his polls are going up, even in the medias, that even in the pollsters that don't like him. His polls are going up, and the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot every day. Division, division, division. It's easy to see. But the Republican Party is finally, after all these years of going left, they found their home. That's my take on it. They've been going left for years, the Republicans. I couldn't even vote for many of the people that ran. I had to go to an independent party. But finally, and you know, a lot of the people on the left say we're extremely right. Well, we're not extremely right. We're right where we should have been all these years.
And you're sure?
Trump brought us back. It took a Trump to bring us back to our common sense. It took an outsider
to drain
to bring
the swamp
us back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we got you, Dan. Thank you so much.
All
right.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the comments. You have a great day.
Hey,
you too.
You too, buddy. Rob, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for waiting. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just want to share what happened at my college graduation in 1978. So I'll give you a little bit of an idea how old I am. But I graduated from a liberal arts college in New York, and the commencement speaker was Senator Patrick Moynihan. Mm-hmm. And in 1978, the big brouhaha was, should the United States divest from South Africa? And, you know, because of apartheid in South Africa. So what happened was, all the African American students that graduated that year, when he spoke, stood up out of their chairs and turned, and, you know, a silent protest, and turned their back on him. When he was done, they turned back, you know, turned around and sat back down. So that's, I just wanted to share that. You know, that's one way to protest. If people don't want Pence, they could do the same thing.
Yeah, I hear people doing that at different colleges about different things, you know, when they disagree with the main speaker. That's a good way to go about it. At least then you hear the message, you know, so with their back turned, they'd still hear, you know, so they could still, you know, ponder what it is that Mr. Pence is speaking about, which I can doubt that he's going to talk about gay marriage at the college.
I doubt that as well.
I don't even remember what he, well, does anybody remember what their college or high school commencement speech was about? The only thing I remember is it was about 20 minutes long. That's about it.
Well, that's a little lengthy. No, I don't remember any of those. I certainly don't remember my Penn State one, and I don't remember high school either. I know who delivered it, but I don't remember what he said.
That's funny. The last I remember is my
for
son's.
High school, we had the. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say my son's, but I don't remember the commencement speaker. It was Senator Paul Sarbanes of Maryland, but I remember the chaplain at the university. He gave the baccalaureate, and that sermon I recall.
Oh, dear.
Because it was very good.
Yeah, for high school, it was only 15 minutes, and it was Thomas Persing, who was the Secretary of Education for Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So I remembered who they were, just not what they said.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you.
I have no idea. 1982, Penn State, Beaver Stadium. Somebody was talking. My dad was there. We got wore a robe.
And you got a paper handed to
right,
you.
Right, yeah, in a little booklet. Yeah.
That plus, how many people were at that graduation, though?
Oh, my gosh. There were like
quite a few.
6,000 or 7,000
yeah.
of us. It was a packed house. All right,
small
thank
crowd.
You, Bob. Yeah, but good point.
All right,
though.
You guys, thanks so much for your program.
Sure.
Thanks.
Oh,
take
you're
care.
Quite welcome. This idea of a silent protest, that's pretty harsh to turn your back on someone. I think that sends a continuing message throughout the remarks if you disagree with
someone. Well, I mean, that's traditionally been a way of expressing disdain for someone's position or their...
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it the police in Chicago who turned their back on... Oh, no, in New York. Mayor de Blasio, when he came out and said something they were offended by, they actually turned their back on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's their boss, so that's
yikes.
A dangerous thing to do. But, you know, all right, so if you feel that strongly about it, I guess that's a fair protest. You're not harming anybody. You're not being, you are perhaps being disrespectful, but you are at least not walking out or mm-hmm. calling for the man not to be able to speak. And I don't believe there's any good reason for Vice President Pence not to speak on any college campus or
well,
the president.
You might learn something, too. He's a pretty smart guy overall, even though a lot of people don't nobody agrees with him completely, probably, but...
Yeah. Maybe his wife.
I doubt it. Have you heard them argue? No way. Mike, you're on the mark.
Hey, how you doing today, you guys?
I'm perfect. Joe's pretty good.
I'm going to try to call in today without getting in so much trouble. I know you guys are upset, but I have the worst example of all time of conservatives trying to stop liberals from having their freedom of speech and expression on college campus. It occurred in a little place called Kent State in the 60s. Any of you guys recall that? The state government sent in National Guardsmen onto a college campus to put down the anti-war protesters with live ammunition.
But it wasn't to stop
and
them
they
from
shot,
speaking.
And they shot and killed people who weren't even protesters. Most of the people who got shot were innocent bystanders.
Right, but they weren't sent there to stop them from speaking. And that's what we're talking about.
They're sent there to kill him. Doesn't that stop you from speaking?
We're talking about the vice president, people trying to ban him from speaking at a college
commencement. No, you were talking about liberals keeping conservatives from speaking and freedom of speech on college campuses, aren't you?
Yep.
Basically?
Yep.
But that's
yep.
not Kent's. That and Kent State, that kind of diminishes Kent State, in my opinion, to cheapen it by saying it was just about keeping them from speaking.
What was it about?
It was trying to preserve order, and it was young kids who were sent there without proper training who did the wrong thing. I mean, it wasn't any government action. Nobody intended for that to happen.
Those young kids were responding to a direct order from a second lieutenant.
Right, but...
Gave the order to fire.
A second lieutenant. It's not like it came from the governor saying, hey, you're my National Guard troops, fire.
Did you ever hear of anybody authorizing live ammunition by the military? Law enforcement in the United States?
But, yeah, Mike, you're missing my point. They weren't sent there specifically
to
kill anybody.
No, I'm not missing. I'm just trying to add to the point.
Yeah, you're not smart enough, Mike, to get the... You don't get the point. That's what I just heard.
I know. That's what they keep trying to tell me.
That's
I'm educated. Are you?
That's what people hear when you say that.
Well, I don't intend for...
Listen, I lived through Kent State. My mother became an anti-war person after what happened at Kent State. It was so
it was terrible.
Shocking to most people.
No argument. It was shocking to everybody. I mean, it was to me. It was a terrible thing. But they weren't sent there with the express purpose of killing people. You know, that was an unintended consequence and a tragedy. It wasn't a deliberate act on the part of any government or any organized group to keep somebody from speaking.
Well, what was the National Guard doing on campus then?
They were there to preserve order. They're often sent to places to preserve order.
Were there protesters in
the
school buildings?
So people speaking out about their beliefs about an unjust and idiotic war is something that requires the National Guard to keep under control. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying it wasn't uncommon.
If conservatives and Republicans do it, then it's okay because it's a higher calling of some sort?
Well, no,
Joe
I didn't
say it was okay. I mean,
I never said it was okay. And it's not okay, but it was not a deliberate act to keep somebody from exercising their right of free speech.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, bye.
Thank you very much. He did stir people up, as he predicted
he might.
All right. Cindy, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
You know, for those people who want to suppress the speech of people they don't like to hear from, I want them to consider people like Frederick Douglass.
Yes.
Who spoke out against slavery. Now, should he have been silenced because the majority of people opposed what he had to say? I say no. Or what about Alice Paul, who spent her entire life fighting for equal rights? Should she have been silenced because other people didn't agree? Now, she was imprisoned and force-fed, but should she have been silenced because she and Susan B. Anthony and many other women fought for the right for women to vote? That wasn't a popular opinion. But should they have been gagged? I think not.
No.
We're all better to hear more than one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. What about if they'd shut up Thomas Paine? These are the days that try men's times. You know, these are the times that try men's souls. You know, a great advocate for the American Revolution. Is that, you know, would we have wanted to see him silenced?
The British would have.
I hope not.
The British would have.
I agree, and probably that desire on their part, and maybe even some efforts, I'm not sure, led to that very sentence in the Bill of Rights, that people have the right to speak freely. I understand that it's hard to hear people that disagree with you. Believe me, I listen to the show and often hear people who have a different opinion than mine. I try to hear them out, hold it up against what I believe, and decide whether or not I can accept part or all or none of what they have to say. But I would never silence them.
I agree. And I wouldn't either.
We're not better for that.
Yeah, we'll have
we're
to have
not better for silencing people, even if we don't like what they have to
say. We'll have to have Rob do official call screening where he asks you your opinion. If you don't agree with Joe or I, then you can't get through.
then we'd all be cut off.
Every day we'd have one caller.
Well, which one of us would you agree with?
I'm just asking my neighbors.
Mike.
Surely we can agree that we can hear someone out. Now, are there things that people say that I just find disgraceful? Sure. And, you know, I have this power that I can turn off my radio or not go to that person's speech. What could be more powerful than if someone or a group planned a speech, advertised the daylights out of it, and when they went to that stage and that microphone, no one was there to hear? Isn't that another powerful form of speech? And isn't that a way that we can speak our minds about what those people have to say?
Well, that's like the turning the back on folks, you know, has a powerful message. Sure.
Well, and I understand those men were in uniform. They had no choice but to be there. They just refused to be a prop. So I ask my neighbors, as difficult as it might be, to allow people that they disagree with to speak.
Gotcha. All right.
It won't kill you. I promise. It won't kill you.
All right. Thank you very much, Cindy. Appreciate the call. We got a caller standing by. Joe, read this, and then we'll get Chris on the air.
It says, what political group is trying to stifle speech in this day and age? It isn't the Republican Party.
All right, Chris, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Somehow you've forgotten that the Freedom Party or the Patriot Party or whatever they were called. The Tea Party. Groups, they organized the shouting down of representatives at town halls that stopped representatives from speaking.
Right, it ended the town hall system as we
the
now know
hall,
it.
And that ended that sort of communication between representative and voter.
Yeah, now nobody does
that. And that
anymore.
Was their organization that organized that specifically to do that for publicity purposes.
And then, of course, the Democrats picked it up, and
they did. They did. But who started it?
Well, I'm not certain who started it. I thought it was the left.
Yes. It was that's when it started. And who tried to stop Obama from speaking at Notre Dame? I believe that was conservative Catholics, anti-abortion groups.
But they didn't stop him.
They tried very hard to, though.
Okay, but they didn't start. They didn't succeed.
But, you know, Notre Dame does not allow freedom of speech at its university in terms of Catholic dogmas and anti-abortion speakers. They don't allow them, and just like Liberty University doesn't allow them.
Well, that's wrong. I think you should hear other people's opinions. You know, maybe you don't like it.
Neither of those places do, and a lot of Christian schools are that way. But you don't hear about it, but you hear about it because it's part of their foundation, basically. That's their basic rules. But if something happens at Yale or Harvard there, then all of a sudden it becomes big news.
Okay. All right. No.
And by the way, the contempt against Holder was the House of Representatives that voted on it. The judge threw it out as completely silly and unnecessary in the process of turning the papers over. And he complied with the judge's orders.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, noted. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. We were talking about some students at Taylor University.
Right.
Individuals who are not interested, not necessarily liberals, but they're individuals who don't want Vice President Mike Pence to be their speaker.
Well, I like what the university said. They said the vice president has very orthodox Christian beliefs, very traditional beliefs, that a vast majority of Christians believe. His political views are shared by a large section of America, so it's not a radical choice, and I think people should be able to engage and disagree with his views and do it in a mature fashion. Now, do you disagree with that statement?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, it's certainly not as widespread. The good examples from Chris were conservatives were opposed to certain speakers, but liberals own this. Conservatives visit it, but liberals own it. All right, we'll invite more comers. We got one text that was sent to 70236. That's 70236, the Text Connect system. We'll take an email. We haven't had any emails on this particular topic. You can send those to onthemarket@wkok.com. And our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line now wide open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And our umbrella sponsor is the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Text.
And in response to Chris's comment about stopping people speaking at their town hall
campus
meetings, one of our texters says, "You mean constituents of an elected official can't confront them with their concerns now? Why, Chris?"
Well, yeah, nobody has town hall meetings. I remember John Hines had one locally, and Arlen Specter had one every year in every county. That was his shtick. The late Arlen Specter,
right,
of course. Congressman Kanjorski used to have them around here.
Well, the Democratic candidate, I don't remember whether Fred Keller made a similar promise, but Mr. Friedenberg made a promise that he would have them.
Oh, that he would hold
them. If he was elected,
okay.
Yes.
And then it did become a big dilemma. You know, no matter who the congressman was, he'd get shouted down when they would try to speak.
Which is wrong. I mean, Unfortunately, a lot of congressional people attempt to get their talking points in no matter what. And you know what the question is, what time is it? And they go to one of their talking points instead of giving you the answer. But they do have the right to talk to their constituents, and their constituents have a right to question them in return.
In decorum. Well, and that's why you don't see anybody doing that anymore. You have a congressperson will come to town, but only meet with a select audience, only meet either members of the political party or a particular office, and go talk to people at a particular company, or they'll have a meeting, let's say, at Sunbury City Hall to people who are invited to it.
But that doesn't really benefit the electorate as a whole.
No, and Tom Marino never had any meeting with constituents at all, ever, anywhere, so that wasn't his shtick. 1-800-795-9565. Paul, you're on the mark.
Let the person speak and hear what he has to say, as long as he does not take violent action.
Amen, brother. Thank
you
very much.
I would hope the vice president wouldn't be taking any violent action at Taylor University.
And the budgie agrees in the background there.
Yeah, well, I agree. Let him speak. If he's advocating violence, I mean, some people would say his stand on gay marriage is in effect violence against the gay community by, you know, disagreeing with what they want and what they're hoping for, their aspirations. But that isn't really the same thing as physical violence, is it?
No. You know, a lot of people will complain about gay people expressing themselves, and they say it's not in the Bible. But if you read, you will find that Nathan did kiss David in open field.
And what chapter and verse is that from?
Oh, brother.
I must have missed that one.
Well, if you go back and you
read
through it, you'll find that Nathan did kiss David out in open field.
Okay.
And it was because it was a regrouping or they met for the first time in a long time and they kissed an open field.
Okay. Happy open field. All right. Listen, we got you. Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate the call.
Well, I think the vice president has got a lot of guts to continue to go there, and I'm surprised that a Christian college would have that much sentiment against him speaking, particularly since it's I'll be all right in a minute. Traditional Christian values that he represents, whether you like them or dislike them, they are held by many, many people. And they are believed by many, many people, and there's no harm in hearing them expressed.
Is it just gay marriage in which they agree, or is that not even clear?
Well,
they most strongly disagree with his views on?
What they agree with is traditional marriage between a man and a woman. Now, that doesn't mean that...
But is that what the students disagree with the vice president on?
Yes.
Okay,
that's their big beef.
And,
of course, they believe that he's antithetical to the LGBTQ community as well, which he may or may not well be. But still, you know, if you could say, I support traditional marriage, does that mean... And that's in a religious setting, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'd say that we don't approve of civil unions or that there's something wrong with two people
marriage
who love each other.
Marriage outside the church.
Right, two people who love each other living together in a committed relationship. Do we always have to agree with everybody, what everybody wants 100%, in order for us to be not bigoted or not hypocritical?
Dan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Again, well, one caller stated that Liberty University only had more conservative speakers. Throughout the years, they had every genre there was. They've had evolutionists speak. They've had liberals speak. And they had people that advocate for man-made climate change, which they all... is not part of their belief system, but they all expose that to their students. So as far as Liberty University, I can answer that they've had everybody, but they also have their speakers that agree with their doctrinal positions and stuff, but they have everybody, and the students show respect. They go and listen to them, hear them out, and that's the way it should be. You know, I love this program. I hear everything that I may disagree with, but it increases my knowledge to help understand the other side.
All right, so you
can
polarize them.
That's what I appreciate about your program, Mark.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you do. Hey, have a happy Easter, Dan.
Yep, you too. You have a good Easter and enjoy the holiday.
Okay, take care, buddy.
This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.